This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, Senator Troy Heinert, District 26 from Mission. Thank you for having us again today. Session wrapping up quicker than some of us would like, and probably not fast enough for others. So just here to answer your questions. Senate has been clearing its calendar. We look to be in good shape coming into crossover day. So hopefully we can get through that. It is a little troubling. We've been reconsidering a few bills, and we're seeing lots of bills being brought back in other bills being hoghoused, bills that we've already disposed of. So that is kind of troubling. We'll be watching that as these last 2 weeks go on.
And good morning. I'm Representative Jamie Smith from District 15 in Sioux Falls from the House. My statements today are, you know, it's crossover day in committee, and so it's been really crazy. Before the press conference started, you alluded to what we're doing with our time, and it was a good joke. We're trying to get things done today and then Monday with the official crossover day, and the House is not doing quite as good as the Senate. We're going to be okay, I think, but it's going to be some more long days. But that's what we're sent here to do, is work on that. And I want to focus, though, on two issues that have been, I'd say, rather disturbing this week for us up here. And I brought a couple important people with me. But first of all, Representative Healy, to my left here, her pre-K bill was a common sense first step for our state. All it wanted to do was put in place an advisory council for pre-K education. And as the media picked up on, and I was offended, it was called the socialist plot, basically, to overtake our, I don't know what that means. Part of the socialist agenda. It isn't that. And it's about kids. And it's about learning, and it's about our future. So that bothered me greatly. We need to do better for South Dakota. That one bothered me a lot. The second one that is still bothering me a lot is making sure that certain health insurers in our state cover ABA therapy for kids with autism. Bill failed in committee, and those of you that were there know how heartbreaking that was. There were audible sobs. We're sent here to help solve problems. It was called a mandate. I would say we were closing a loophole. We can do better for our kids. These families want their kids to have a chance to succeed. And I want to point out one other thing, and I don't want to steal Representative Schwach's thunder, but an early investment in the life of these children saves us so much money on the back end. It's a long view. We're very short-sighted. So with that, I'm going to close, and I'm going to pass it to Representative Ryan Schwach, and I'll let him introduce himself.
Thank you all for being here today. Happy to ask any questions after some brief comments, too. Name's Representative Ryan Schwach. I'm from District 18, which consists of just Yankton County. I've been on the job for about 25 days. This is my first time being in front of you, so you can be as hard or gentle with me as you want, I guess, but if you lean towards the gentle side, I'd appreciate it. I've been working with families who have autistic children or children with autism for the last couple weeks, and we had a lot of positive momentum going into the committee hearing, I felt. I think the vast majority of Democrats and Republicans want us to find a solution. But I think politics got in the way in that committee meeting. And Representative Smith, I think, summed it up perfectly. When we're talking about this piece of bill, and there was talk about a mandate, we already have a quote-unquote mandate on the books. ABA therapy is required for most insurance plans in South Dakota. So if you're an employee for Sanford Health and your child has autism, you're able to access ABA therapy. But if you're a consumer on the individual market and you want to buy a Sanford Health plan, you don't have that same opportunity. Well, that's not fair. and we need to close that loophole. And I'm looking forward to continuing the conversation here in Peer and continuing it afterwards if we can't move anything forward. But it was really difficult and heartbreaking, and it's easy to be abstract when it's not your child, but we don't come here to pass laws for our children. We come here to pass laws to benefit all the children of South Dakota, and I think we had an obligation on Wednesday night to do that, and I was disappointed in the committee's vote. So thank you.
Questions?
Just wondering, you know, nursing homes were kind of your big issue this session, and just wondering, you know, with crossover day and some of these bills are still, you know, moving, you know, what do you guys think is going to end up coming through crossover day with nursing homes?
I know that that's something being worked on in appropriations, and I can't really go into any more detail than that, but I do know that they're trying to work on a number over there and what they're doing. As far as I defer to Senator Heinert if he knows any more exact details on that. I do know it's a big part of the conversation.
Yeah, we're hearing the same thing. They're trying to find the number, and they really are trying to find long-term fixes rather than one-time money. So, you know, and we hope that's the route the appropriations team takes. You know, we need to look at this. What is this in 10 and 20 years?
Senate Bill 15 was hoghoused in Senate Commerce and Energy. I know I'm told Senator Craig Kennedy spoke strongly against that hoghouse, but Senator Heiner, I don't know if you'd talk to Senator Kennedy about that and about sort of the, I think it involves PUC public hearings and kind of changing that language to input meetings and tinkers with the permitting process. I don't know if you have any.
We spoke very briefly about it. Senator Kennedy was extremely upset, and as I just the little information that I have in it, you know, I would never support something like that. That really limits the public's input into that PUC permitting process, and you know that's the last thing we should be doing if we're talking about. What is the future of South Dakota? You know, leaving it up to three individuals to really make decisions that have ramifications for the next century, you know, that's ludicrous.
Representative Healy, going back to the pre-K discussion, heard a lot of testimony in there. We mentioned the socialist agenda. There was also some LGBT discussion. Could you just discuss those and what that testimony did, and will you be back with another bill, or what's the future of that issue?
Yes, so there was some interesting opponents' views. We heard about the socialist agenda. We also heard that preschools were, that they had an LGBTQ agenda, basically. There were no citations. There was no evidence to back this up. Just flat-out lies. We do not teach our children that in our preschools. And I don't know if it actually affected the representatives up in state affairs. I think they already had their minds made up. I believe that there are a few individuals up there who believe that preschool isn't necessary and doesn't teach morals and intelligence. And we know that that's not true. I'm unsure right now whether to bring this bill back next year, if it's going to be seen in state affairs again. There's really no point because the same people will be on that committee. So if I decide to bring it back next year, I will fight to make sure it gets on a different committee so it can have a fair hearing.
And I would, to piggyback on that, you know, they just had the National Superintendents Conference in Los Angeles. And they are talking about South Dakota being one of two states not have an early learning advisory council. This is nationally. And there's only five states that don't provide some sort of state funding for early childhood. You know, we are doing a disservice to our families in South Dakota when we do not look at early learning or provide funding for it.
I would also like to add that there was an argument made that we don't have the funding to provide an early learning advisory council. And in the past 2 years, we've seen almost $1 million from the Department of Education reverted back to the general fund. So that is not true. We do have the funding. We are only asking for $10,000 to $14,000.
Staying on that subject, Representative Healy, there were also some comments from the committee members saying that early learning is a function of families. Can you reflect some more on that?
Yeah, so there were a few people who were not willing to give up on the child-family relationship that must occur within early childhood years. They believe that it is vital that education comes from the family, and we need to really get with reality here and understand that that is just not, it's not an option. We know that 74% of our families have two working parents, and we also know that some families just can't simply afford it. Head Start program is a good example. You have to reach a certain you have to reach the poverty line in order to qualify for Head Start. And there was also one remark made that a representative was able to send his child to preschool because he chose to not buy a few pops at the gas station. There are a lot of people who can't afford to buy pop at gas stations. It's not about saving your money. It's about not having the money in order to send your kid to preschool. It's much more expensive than that.
Last night, the bill that would require, I guess, transgender athletes to, play the sport assigned to their gender at birth. It got tied 6-6 a couple times, and then it moved to the House with no recommendation. Senator Smith, you were, or Representative Smith, you were absent for that. I'm just wondering what kind of happened there.
I had a prior obligation, and the chair knew I had a prior obligation, and the schedule ran extremely long yesterday, and I couldn't be there. They knew that, and when the vote happened, it's one of my biggest regrets of this entire session that I wasn't there for that vote.
And this goes back to, we've already disposed of the very same bill in the Senate early in session, and they keep bringing this stuff. It's almost like Groundhog's Day. We have seen the same bills being hoghoused and put into other bills that, you know, for no reason other than taking another bite at the apple. And that's really abusing our system, our committee process, the bill drafting process. You know, how many times do we make people drive to peer to testify on the very same bill? You know, that. We shouldn't be doing this.
Industrial hemp has yet to come up. Just thoughts on what that is, and are you prepared for a potential governor's veto and an override?
I think in the Senate, I know they've been working very hard against it. From the senators I've talked to, you know, we're all holding strong. I think it's going to pass. I think it's going to be a fight, but I think it's going to pass. And I would hope that the senators stick to their word. And I think we could override a veto. You know, this bill has great potential, you know, for all walks of life in South Dakota, not only producers, but for people that could use the CBD oil for other projects and materials that can come from industrial hemp. And, you know, it's time that we get with the times and make sure that people of South Dakota have access to it.
Just to clarify, you said they're working really hard against it. Did you mean the administration or within
the Senate? Okay. The administration is. Yep. And I think we hear that next week in Senate Ag, I believe.
I'm just curious, if the transgender student athlete bill had gone to the 41st day, do you think that there would have been some kind of smoke out?
You want to take it? No. Yeah, I'm sure that there would have been a smoke out on that bill. If you look at who the sponsors are and who the leadership behind that, it would have been smoked out.
So do you think your absence had a practical effect?
In the long run, no, but in the short term, it's not what I wanted, and I do feel bad about that.
Were you at a fundraiser with lobbyists while you were supposed to be taking that vote?
At that time, no. I was at another meeting before. Eventually, I was at that, but not where I was during that time.
Senator Hunter, if that bill passes in the House, are you able to say at this time what committee that would be assigned to in the Senate?
Well, I would hope it would go back to Senate Education. When we assign or when they assign bills to committees, and they do that in order to ensure its passage, that's really abusing the committee system. You know, we have a bill today that has public education in the title, and it's being sent to State Affairs. We have the Senate Education Committee. That's where those things should be going. So, you know, I don't have any say in where those bills go other than to express my concern that we should not be abusing the committee system and send things where they're supposed to go.
I'd also like to make a comment really quick on that. My bill, 1175, went to State Affairs, and it also should have been in front of House Education. And speaking for Representative Schwach, his bill also went to State Affairs, and it probably should have been in front of House Health and Human Services. We have seen that State Affairs has been incredibly busy and meeting late into the evening, and it's because bills like ours are going to the wrong committee.
Can you give me a look ahead to the final push here, 8-11 days, crossover day on Monday? Appropriations becomes the big issue. Just look ahead to what our readers, viewers, and listeners are going to be talking about in the days ahead.
Well, I would hope they're talking about, you know, some of the good things that we've been passing. But I also hope they're talking about the things that did fail. You know, early childhood education, covering children with autism. You know, we need to be held accountable for our 40 days up here. And, you know, I think you've seen from us that the bills we're bringing are trying to help a vast number of people in South Dakota. And sadly, a lot of them are failing, and they shouldn't. So, you know, hopefully the readers and the viewers and the listeners are looking at the votes that their representative and senators take and hold them accountable. Appropriations, obviously, these last 2 weeks are filled with who's getting what. And, You know, we have to be on our toes to make sure that the priorities that we were sent here to look out for are being funded, and that's what we'll do.
Are there any questions from callers on the phones?
Thank you. Have a good day. Stay safe.